HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. While 2021 was all about growth and recovery, the focus of central banks across the world has shifted towards inflation and monetary policy normalization, given the context of US Fed tapering and potential hardening of interest rates in 2022. So, will these worries amid rising Omicron variant of COVID cases derail equities rally going ahead in the year? To discuss that, I'm in conversation with Unmesh Kulkarni, Managing Director, Senior Advisor, Julius Baer India. Hi Unmesh, wish you a very happy new year and welcome to the show.
Hi Nasreen.
So, Unmesh, we are beginning the year 2022 with a lot of zeal and enthusiasm as far as the stock markets are concerned. But somewhere in the mind, there are lingering thoughts about the risk because we have just come out from a great year, though there were turbulence. But what do you think about the big risk that could be derailing the markets in 22?
Yes, you're right. The Indian markets have rallied quite a bit. We rallied around 120% or so in 2020 from the lows of March 2020. And then last year, we rallied around 24-odd% in calendar year 2021. So there's a pretty good possibility that we may see some form of correction sometime during this year, although the timing obviously is uncertain as of now. While we believe that the correction will be healthy for markets, typically, we believe that investors should buy into this correction as there is a strong economic recovery, growth prospects are improving, and there's a strong earnings recovery story also. However, obviously, there are certain key risks that are staring at us in the face. The most obvious and immediate headwind comes from this whole Omicron mutation of the virus and the so-called third wave. The risk comes obviously if it brings around some lockdowns or partial lockdowns, which could either affect on the demand side or it could affect the supply. It could bring in supply disruption and resulting in additional inflationary pressures. Then there is the whole matter of the global inflationary trends that we are seeing across the world, not just in the US, but practically the entire world. The supply shocks that were brought in by the COVID lockdowns, etc., the run-up in oil prices, commodity prices. The US dollar is also something to watch out for. You know, Nasreen, last year, most people were expecting the US dollar to weaken given the huge amount of money printing which had happened. But on the contrary, the dollar actually rallied around 6% or so during the year. So that is something to watch out for, especially as the Fed tightens its belts around the liquidity as well as interest rates. So the Fed tapering is going to be one of the most critical events to watch out for in the next 2 or 3 months because they are intending to wind down the tapering by March or so and possibly raise interest rates around 3 times in the year as what they have officially gone on record saying. So that is something definitely to watch out for as another significant risk. Besides, at home, RBI has also started its own liquidity withdrawal or tapering, if I can call that. Mostly it will start raising interest rates, the policy rates, towards the middle of 2022, towards the middle of this year. So these are some of the factors. On the market side, particularly, the valuations are not in our favor. Valuations are pretty much on the higher side, and that itself could create some sort of a discomfort as far as fresh flows are concerned. Plus, there is ongoing supply in the primary markets as well. As we have seen the last 6 months, pretty good supply in the primary markets. This year also, the pipeline is quite healthy, including the large IPO of LIC, which is scheduled to come sometime in the first half. Besides this risk, there may be a couple of other uncertainties, I would say, not risk particularly. See, Nasreen, this year is going to be a little bit of election every year, and we have the UP elections around the corner. So markets typically love stability of policy, stability of government, stability of policy, etc. So there will be those concerns. What if the government, the existing government, doesn't get the mandate, etc.? Will the policy reforms continue at the same pace? So there could be some uncertainty around that. And of course, the union budget, you know, that could bring its own uncertainty with respect to continuity of direction and policy, etc.
A lot of events to watch out for in this year. And of course, the state elections will have its impact, even if it's short term. But very interestingly, you had pointed out about the inflation. And that's one headwind that we have been tackling even before we entered 22. We saw the commodity inflation impacting earnings, and few sectors were really reeling under. So what do you think? Do you think that inflation at home in India and a deadly combo with the new COVID variant may have its impact on the Indian economy? Because the economy was actually recovering in the last two quarters, we have seen. But do you think that inflation and COVID-led restrictions may have its impact on the economy on the downside?
Well, I would say they are surely potential party spoilers. But we need to watch the picture. The picture needs to evolve a bit, especially for the COVID, the Omicron situation. On the inflation front, if I can address that first, see, the problem with inflation is that we are not starting off seeing an inflationary scenario. The inflation has already been there for some time. It's already very high, both in India and globally, thanks to the excess liquidity that has been pumped in over the last 1.5 years with all the money printing, etc. At home, CPI is pretty much higher than the RBI's traditional comfort zone. Even the core inflation has been pretty sticky, I would say. I mean, apart from your oil and related commodity-related inflation, even we had a bout of agri-related inflation as well. WPI is in double digits, and that is also a matter for concern. So obviously, the inflation needs to come down. You know, while a little bit of inflation is good for the economy and markets also like it, but this persistent high inflation could affect the demand and growth recovery in the subsequent quarters. See, the current quarters are well supported by the pent-up demand recovery as we have come out from the COVID, but the subsequent quarters, there could be obviously some sort of impact on the demand and recovery side. Also, we are noticing that for some industries, some corporates, some sort of margin pressure starting to build in already because of the rise in oil and commodity prices, etc. So, and there is limited ability of some of the corporates to pass on the increase in material costs to consumer. This whole transitory or transient logic that central banks have been using has not been actually playing out. The supply constraints are unfortunately lasting longer than expected, and now we have this Omicron issue. So my view is that interest rates need to go up to address this concern at some point of time. The excess liquidity needs to come down, and that in a way could have some sort of impact on the market as well. RBI, however, will most probably try and stay in the middle lane. They will not go to the extreme. While they will try and keep the liquidity under control on one hand, but they may not raise rates too much. So that's a comfort factor for our markets. Their base case, RBI's base case, is that the supply constraints will somewhere ease towards the middle of the year and inflation should moderate. On the Omicron front, see, the uncertainty comes because prior to Omicron, the big assumption was that vaccinations will do all the wonders, right? That you have a highly vaccinated population, you will sort of assuage the damage from from the coronavirus. Now, this thesis is now currently being tested, being challenged, because even vaccinated people are...
Yeah, absolutely.
Falling. Yeah, they are getting infected. However, so far, at least, and I repeat, I use the word so far, at least the good news is that it is a mild variant. And the theory that this is a benign virus, which will possibly bring an end to the pandemic, which is what is also weighing a little bit on the market reaction. If you saw in the last couple of 2-3 days that markets digesting the good information. However, I would say it is still early days. You know, we need to watch out if more mutations happen. And let's keep our fingers crossed on this. But yes, it could bring, if it gets prolonged. See, if this is a short-lived sort of a peak and then a fall, if the Omicron peaks out in a month with less sort of government intervention or restraint on our activity, then I think we should sail through comfortably. But if it gets prolonged, then there could be some impact on the consumption, demand, services, and the typical corona-prone sectors as well, as well as the supply constraints that RBI keeps talking about.
Right. See, liquidity has been, of course, pushing Indian markets and also markets worldwide, the immense liquidity that was actually driving equities most likely, mostly in last year and 2020. But now, because we are talking about policy, monetary policy normalization, this liquidity may obviously be flowed into somewhere else, not equity for sure. Now, do you think that if FI money is kind of goes all out of Indian markets, do you think the markets will get support from the domestic institutional investors like mutual funds, insurance companies, and also the retail investors will stay put? Because typically retail investors always chase returns. And if FI start really aggressively selling, then probably markets will also show its, the color of correction. So what do you think?
Well, there are two ways to look at it. One is if global markets correct due to the factors I mentioned earlier, inflation or Fed tapering and so on and so forth, then obviously emerging markets and India will also likely correct. And that may obviously temporarily dampen the current appetite amongst domestic investors for equities, which is currently very overwhelming. That may come down a bit because of global markets correction and slow down some of the domestic flows as well, which are at an all-time high. The other way to look at it, that interest rates are very low in India and possibly at a multi-year low, and there is a lack of return opportunity for investors from the fixed income asset class, which I think generally should drive investors towards equities, notwithstanding the risks that we talked about earlier. Obviously, that will dampen the sentiment, but because of lack of opportunity, they could still look at equities as a continuation of their appetite. So on the whole, I think the appetite for equities should continue to be decent, I think, amongst domestic investors in the current year. Equity mutual funds have overall done well and will likely continue to attract money. In fact, the SIP books of mutual funds, from what I understand, by talking to them, is pretty strong. And it will take a while unless you have a prolonged market correction or something. I mean, typically, the retail money, SIP money, doesn't go away that quickly. So unless there's a prolonged correction, I think the domestic flows should continue for a while. Even amongst HNI investors, if I look at their investment pattern, there is a growing appetite for specialist managers through the PMS and AIF schemes. And I think this should continue for a while, assuming that equity markets don't cave in completely. So right. I think, yes, there are two contravening forces. One, obviously, we have to watch what global markets are doing and the extent of the correction. But the domestic flows, I think, should be resilient in the near term.
Okay. See, one sector that I have been hearing a lot about is the infra sector as we are closing to budget. And the government is likely to continue its push towards growth and allocate a lot of money for the infrastructure. So what do you think? Are you betting on the infrastructure sector, along with the government's push, or you think that there are hiccups in the sector?
Yes, this is clearly one sector that one should watch out. In fact, at the very start of last year, start of 2021 itself, we had already talked about green shoots of CapEx recovery being visible. Early signs of CapEx recovery. And now we are even more convinced of an evolving longer trend of recovery of the investment cycle. See, the last whole decade, you'll recall, it was a sort of a lost decade for CapEx, especially in manufacturing. There were no meaningful sort of infra spends from corporates or from the government either. But over the years, we have seen deleveraging happening to a great extent amongst corporates, some restructuring also. Even the banking system has done a fair bit of cleanup of their assets. As we come out of the COVID, you know, and that's an assumption that we will be coming out over the next 6 odd months. And we see normalization of demand taking place. And with noticeable trends of improving capacity utilization amongst corporates, some of the industries will definitely start looking at increasing capital expenditure. Industrials, capital goods, and engineering sort of companies will likely see a pickup in demand as well. In fact, if you notice, the government is also trying to be supportive towards the infrastructure sector. They, in the last budget, they further announced some measures around the national infrastructure pipeline. They have been encouraging InvITs also. So all this will go and add to the sentiment for the infrastructure sector. Hopefully, if the current GST collection trend continues for a while and it improves further, that may also give some additional room to the government to allocate more towards the infra-related industries. So we are optimistic about the longer-term trend of this sector.
Okay. So if I have to ask you, besides the infra sector, what other sectors you would be watching out for in 22?
I mean, there are a few sectors definitely to look out for. Although one should be just careful of intermittent sector rotations, which may keep happening. You know, we have seen that fair amount of that happening over the last couple of years as well. But if I were to look at it a little more fundamentally and generically, I would tend to be positive on the auto sector because that's a clear play on the demand recovery. So while, yes, there the two-wheeler and tractor industry, they have been under pressure because of the rural slowdown. Hopefully, this situation will normalize as the recovery continues. And there are also supply challenges we have seen in the passenger vehicles due to the semiconductor constraints, etc. But that also, that situation should have bottomed out and should hopefully improve. So this is one sector we'll watch out for. The BFSI sector, obviously, is a banking and financial services industry. That is also a play on the demand recovery. It's a play on the GDP pickup, CapEx recovery, and the overall the thought that, you know, cyclicals will tend to benefit as the economy picks up further from here. So BFSI should also participate. Mm. Apart from that, obviously, as demand overall broader demand recovers, the consumer discretionary sectors will also benefit. As we talked about, we talked about infrastructure. So clearly, industrials and real estate or construction should also benefit from overall sort of thrust on infrastructure sector. And along with that, possibly cement also, we'll see an improvement in sentiment there with the pickup in CapEx on infra. There are some couple of sectors where we would have a positive bias, but valuations could be a bit of a concern right now, and so would prefer to buy in dips, which would be IT and healthcare. Obviously, IT sector, it has got good headwinds right now. The sector itself should continue to do well. It has been a consistent outperformer over the last couple of years. So that risk is there that we might see some sector rotation out of the sector. But overall, the sector will continue to do well. There are valuation concerns, obviously, right now, which is why one would tend to be a little bit neutral at the current valuations. However, it is a defensive sector. And should there be a market correction because of all the risks that we talked about, if there were a market correction, then this would obviously be a defensive or a safe place for investors. On the other hand, healthcare sector was the top performer, pharmaceutical, etc. It was a top performer in 2020 when the pandemic broke out, but it was possibly the worst performing sector among the prominent sectors in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a bit of a positive bias towards this sector. And if valuations become a bit more reasonable or if markets correct, this can bounce back. There has been some sentiment erosion because of, you know, off and on you keep hearing about US generics pricing pressure, etc. But I think overall the sector should do well in the longer term. It's just that valuations have gone up.
Right, Anish. So Anish, thank you so much for sharing those insights and also joining in for the podcast. Wish you a very happy new year and stay safe.
Thank you, Nasreen, and wish you too a very, very happy new year.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.